Thank you to the organizers for having me today. My name is Harpreet Singh. I'm a medical oncologist at the FDA. I am the Associate Director for Cancer and Older Adults in our Oncology Center of Excellence. I was asked today to talk to you about FDA's very specific efforts in how we would go about including older adults in cancer clinical trials, and specifically to talk about our guidance, which was published initially in draft form in 2020 and then finalized in March of this year in 2022. And it was actually highlighted as part of now President Biden's, but of course Moonshot was conceived when he was the vice president. So it was highlighted as part of President Biden's Cancer Moonshot program. So seen as very high priority, and it was great to get the visibility for such an important topic. Let me walk you through some of the very high-level features of this guidance. I encourage you all to read it. It is very easily able to be found on Google or FDA's website, which is probably the preferred way to get it. But it's very brief, and it just takes you through our thinking. It's intentionally concise because, again, we want companies and investigators to talk to us early and often about their development plans. So first of all, we are defining older adults as those 65 and older, but the guidance really focuses on adults 75 and older because we really do understand that they're very underrepresented in clinical trials, and also that this is a very quickly growing population, particularly in our oncology clinics. The background of the guidance also mentions one of our previous guidances on clinical trial eligibility, and particularly organ dysfunction and prior or concurrent malignancies, that these may be artificially or unintentionally excluding older adults, and that these should be closely looked at. So that's the background. Then we get into the meat of the document, and we talk about a strategy regarding inclusion of older adults that should include all known information about the actual condition, the tumor type, the median age at diagnosis, et cetera, and that potential age-related differences that may be relevant to the clinical development of a drug be studied across the development program, starting with first, early clinical development. We ask that investigators, sponsors, enroll older adults, if appropriate, in early phase studies to obtain information on safety, exposure, and response to better inform study design. You should document comorbidities and make every effort to safely include patients with organ dysfunction or prior or concurrent malignancies, even in these early studies. Then, next, when you're designing the trial, that every effort should be made to enroll a representative population in these randomized trials. But you may want to be flexible in your approach to trial design. Think about things like age-based stratification, different analyses based on hypothesized efficacy differences in older versus younger adults. You may choose to include an open-label safety study that is run parallel to a randomized trial that would look specifically at older adults or perhaps those who are more frail. Finally, the design of a development program should reflect any important differences in a drug's benefit-risk balance in older adults compared to younger adults. Get perspectives from older adults, patients, advocacy groups. Clinical trial recruitment strategies should be targeted towards older adults, go where they are. And many of you have developed careers at these institutions where older adults are, where they're basically centers of excellence for older adults. Consider gathering additional data on older adults in your pivotal trials. And then finally, in the post-market setting, first of all, we all agree, and I am agreeing, that this data should be obtained pre-market. But if we are presented with a data package that does not adequately reflect older adults in the intended population, we will ask, and we have been asking, for additional data in the post-market space. We believe that this will contribute to our understanding of the drug, although it is not the ideal time. You have seen FDA ask more frequently for this data, and we will see in the coming years how it rolls in and how it improves our understanding. This is a collaborative effort. We work with all other regulatory agencies on this issue and with companies, and we really hope that we see the fruits of this guidance and of our continued efforts and yours. So thank you again to the organizers for having me.